Wow. With or without tongue, depending on preference.
For like many rounds.
Yes, lots of rounds. You have respect. A dry mouth, by the way. Yeah. But that's how you get to Broadway, baby.
That's how you get to Broadway, baby. That's how you know. That's the commitment you need in this industry. That's
yeah. I'm a go-getter.
Detroit. It's me, Mario. What is up, my little baby carrots? And welcome back to Unfiltered. Guys, today's guest is a friend I met a few days ago. He's an actor, okay? Mm. And he is an actor, not just like some random actor from the street here.
No.
He's been in the hit Broadway musical, The Book of Mormon, okay? And a lot more things. He's an absolute sweetheart. Give it up for Gabe Gibbs.
Hey!
That's right.
Hey!
Yes!
I'm here.
Look at you. You look so good.
I was going to say, you can tell that I'm kind of like a theater kid with my sweater vest on today.
Because the last guy, everything about you, it's a vibe. You know the little flower tattoo here?
Hell yeah.
I like this
bracelet.
My
sister gave me that.
Yeah?
My sister
The tattoo or the...
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
she
awesome.
She gave me that and she gave me this.
Yeah.
She does tattoos.
That's cool. Yeah, you have a little feminine touch.
Yeah, he's very well manicured. Yeah. There's something about him. It looks good.
Okay, stop hitting our guest.
Jesus Lord, calm down.
I'm not telling you you should fuck him. Just calm down, all right?
Twinkle in his eye. Jesus Christ. What do you say?
Also, your hair looks great.
Thank you.
We're just going to keep going.
Thank you.
This podcast
I was nervous to come on a podcast with tall, handsome gentlemen, but now I'm feeling better.
You look great.
I'm feeling better now.
Do you consider yourself hot?
That's a good question. No, I wouldn't say hot because I would say handsome, but not hot.
Got it.
Do those words feel different to you guys?
Yeah.
Handsome, hot, cute.
Yeah, right.
Pretty. I would say handsome because I have like a Midwest vibe to me that I don't think Midwest is hot. Do you agree? Oh boy, I'm gonna get in trouble with that.
Those Wisconsin girls, dude.
Yeehaw.
Right. No, that's not what they say.
Yeah.
I know nothing
that's
about America.
Point. Dude, I've never even been.
I've been to Chicago. That's about it, right?
Yeah. All right.
No, I think you have a
famously yeehaw from Wisconsin.
To me, anything America is yeehaw. Yeehaw. That's just about it. When I do an American accent, it's always like freedom, America, you know?
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Yeah,
that's all I know. I don't know the nuance. I just know that's somewhere in America.
Yeah, if you're saying
the
word freedom, you're fine.
Exactly. When I try, people ask you an American accent, I always go, all right. That's all I have.
Yeah, the McConaughey. I love it.
I think you have a, like, it's not traditional hot, but it's like this artist intrigue. Like, I can see you with a notebook at a coffee place being like Harry Styles.
I'll take that.
You know what I mean?
I'll totally take Harry Styles. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People can use your style and your fashion and stuff like that. So,
I'm sort of a theme park Harry Styles. Like, if you go to a theme park and they're like, it's the Harry Styles show at a theme park, the actor they hire would come out looking like this.
That's cool, yeah.
And you'd be like, kinda.
Yeah, that's kinda.
It's good enough for the kids.
It's so funny. Just three dudes talking about hotness. 50 Shades of Hot. You
know? Here we are.
So you as a musician, though, because you brought Harry Styles, there's some similarities.
Sure.
What would you say is, do you have like an idol or somebody you aspire to be?
Oh, wow. Musically, are we going to be okay? We're dying
strong
over here.
Strong coffee. Stout coffee.
He's just so moved by the thought of Harry Styles.
Yeah. You drug me in that?
He's older, you know, so like he's a little bit of a beginner.
Harry Styles, for the older people, is someone who is, he's a musician. He came from a young band. I'm not sure if you're aware, but he's been around for
this
a couple
before,
of years.
This is after my time.
Oh, okay. Well, 70s. You should look him up. He does good.
I'll look him up. He does well.
I'm trying to think. I like, comedically, my heroes are like Tenacious D.
Really?
Dude.
I love Tenacious D.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's so funny you say that. I'm sorry, I want to interrupt you.
No,
but
no, no.
I'm very passionate about this.
Give me more. Tell me more.
I learned English from Tenacious D.
No way.
Because I watched Tenacious D as a kid in Germany and everything's dubbed.
Yeah.
So everything was dubbed except for the songs. Because you can't dub Jack Black's voice, right?
Yeah.
So I love Tenacious D. And I grew up and, you know, a lot of my English skills are based on that. So it was a lot of like, motherfucker, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Oh, dude, Tenacious D is the best. That like...
Tribute, like this. That's my go-to. I can't sing, by the way, at all. So Tribute is my go-to karaoke song, or Fuck Her Gently.
You can sing.
Oh,
you know?
Both of those are so great classics. Yeah. Also, like a comedy band that can sell the Hollywood Bowl is like unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those dudes can like, they tour.
Are
like,
they still touring right now?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They're
that's
like
so cool.
Busy as
that's
like,
so cool.
I can't think of another comedy band that's
you know
ever been.
Right?
Is it the Jack Black?
Yeah, Jack Black, Kyle Gass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so great. Like that kind of stuff would be, that's like the North Star for me is like, how do you elevate stupid music to be something that like people dig and remember?
That's so cool. Were you always into that? Because you started as an actor or like musician? Like what was your beginning?
I kind of started as a musician. I like grew up a church kid. So I was like singing in church.
You gave
and
me
stuff.
Church kid vibes.
Yeah,
though.
Sweater
edgy,
vest.
Edgy
yeah,
church
yeah, yeah.
kid. Because you're very kind. Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. I see the church imprint because you like have the very friendly smile. You have a very genuine friendliness about you.
Sure, sure.
But then you have a little bit of edge from the music thing, you know? So it's like a good, it's a good mix. I can see.
Wait, does the edge come from the church? Did you say
it? No, the edge comes from the tattoos.
The edge comes from the
and
music.
Living in East LA.
I was trying
from
to get Silver Lake. I was going to see where he went with it, but
yeah, no, the church. Would you throw a church under the bus?
No, I thought
I was baptized.
You were?
Yeah, I was baptized.
Wow. Yeah. I was too.
I was baptized late. I do everything late in life.
Yeah, okay.
I was baptized when I was like 13.
No way.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not too late. Everybody's got their own.
But no, most babies get baptized.
Oh, that's true. Oh, that's true. Like Catholic babies get baptized.
3 years ago, he got circumcised.
Yeah, got circumcised late in life.
Wait. Is that true?
I don't want to get. Jeff, I can't talk on every podcast about my dick. You know what I mean? Like, this is about Gabe now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I want to talk about my dick.
Yeah. All right. Are you circumcised?
Yes.
Yeah, nice. Birth?
Birth.
At birth?
Yeah.
Fuck it, bro.
Yeah.
Dope. Respect that.
I'd know if it wasn't birth.
Yeah. No, trust me.
I had
me,
to think about
me,
it,
trust
but I was
me,
like,
remember,
no,
yeah.
I'd know.
Yeah.
I'd know.
Yeah. Okay, so are you in it? We always keep going back. So our theme on this podcast, we sometimes, out of context, just jump to dicks
Fantastic.
As a topic. It's not our choice. It's just what happens.
It's just how it goes.
And it happens in the weirdest because we talk about church and here we are. You
and
know what I mean?
Are, like, and here we are.
But
that's
might
not that far of a jump.
No, literally. No.
It's not that far.
Pretty logical. Like, next step. Yeah.
Yeah.
Church dicks. all right, here we go. So then, okay, how did you become the artist that you are now?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question. I went to school for theater, which I would not necessarily say is a great use of your money, but it was fun.
So
I had
when you
fun.
Say school, do you mean like, is that college?
Yeah, I got a college degree in theater.
Wow.
That's
what
like,
does it do? Because I'm like...
Did you just ask, what does it do?
What does it do?
That's no, a very it's good question. Parents all over the United States are asking this question when their kid wants to major in theater.
Where'd you go?
Went to Emerson College in Boston. Okay. Yeah. They got one out here too. They've got an
Yeah,
Emerson
I saw
LA
that.
Campus.
They have a dope campus here.
Yeah,
it's
cool.
Amazing. The building is really cool.
It's
I
really
almost
pretty.
Crashed into a car once because I'm on my bicycle and I saw the building. I was like, that's so dope. And you know?
Yeah.
It's funny. Bauman, he went to Berkeley there.
Oh, yeah.
For music. And he says the same thing. He goes, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
working here on this podcast right now, so you know how well his degree
is.
Yeah.
He's walking my dog right now, you know, while we're here talking about dicks and church. So, you know, for some people, are because you can't really, with a theater degree, it's not like you apply to a job that has the what's it called, the requirement to have a degree
Correct.
In theater, right?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Wow. Yeah, you
so
don't.
Why you do it?
You don't need. So why did you do it? Great question.
Why do that shit?
At the time, it felt like it was like the way to go to like be trained in the craft of acting, and I do this with my hands because that's the way actors are.
Yeah.
And it felt like the right thing to do, and I think it was like sort of sold to us as 17-year-olds as like if your kid has. Talent, send them to one of these colleges where they'll go learn how to then be a star on whatever. Yeah. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's necessary either. Like all the people that are doing exciting things, no one's asking if they have a degree in podcasting or theater
if you're
or
good,
whatever.
100%. Yeah, nobody's ever asked me.
Nobody cares.
You know?
Yeah.
But how does it work now? Like this is purely actually... asking for a friend. How would you now get into like, how do you become Harry Styles? Is it purely now the way is through making it online? Is that the only route now?
Oh, that's a good question. I think still in like the theater scene, the Broadway theater scene,
yeah,
they're still holding on to training and like having gone to a college theater. Okay. Like a lot of those people went to theater programs at universities,
yeah,
and then feed into like the New York theater scene or whatever. So if we're talking specifically like Broadway stuff and theater stuff, it is still kind of like get a degree for the most part. But even then there are exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
But I think it's all changing though. Like the days where you like went and got an acting degree and then moved out to LA to sign up for the movies or whatever, like that is so long gone. And I think the internet is opening up way more opportunities for people to see what you're up to. And like,
yeah, it's democratized almost every aspect of entertainment or
for sure.
anything for that. Like, right. It feels like comedy, acting though. I don't know. There still feels a little gatekeepery.
I agree.
Cause with acting, you can just make your own. I mean, you can in a way, but it's harder to make your own movie.
Agree.
I can understand building a following for music or comedy, but acting, I can make Dune. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's like, I mean, I think nobody can because it's a great movie. I think we talk about that. But there seems to be a bit more of that traditional gatekeeper structure in place.
Yeah. And there's still, I think there's still a little bit of a, how do I say, like a, there's sort of a bump or like a resistance to people who built internet followings and then try to become actors.
Yeah.
That's like an element of the gatekeeping too, where people are like, oh, he's just an internet guy or she's just an internet girl.
Yeah.
They're not like a real actor.
Which is like an actor. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes true if we're talking about Meryl Streep, but like for the rest of us, it's like, how different is what we're doing? You know what I mean? Like,
But that's a stigma you always have to fight. I mean, that's what I'm fighting in comedy even.
As an internet person?
Because I come from YouTube, you know what I mean? Yeah, and then people are like, oh, he's just a YouTuber who wants to try comedy, but they don't know how hard you work on this stuff.
Yes.
But that's actually great. I like, you know, proving people wrong in that sense.
Yeah.
But of course, that's a connotation that comes with it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so in theater, how did you get, because you were on a big, like, do you know Book of Mormon?
I know.
Yeah.
I've seen like 3 times. I might have even seen you without knowing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we talked about that. You probably saw me at the Pantages. Yeah, that is, I actually moved out to LA because I had done a movie and I was like, I'm going to be a camera actor. And then immediately got the Book of Mormon, which brought me back to New York.
How do you get that? You just auditioned for it?
I had an agent at the time who...
Did you sleep your way up with them?
Yeah. Lots of kissing, lots of tickling.
Kissing is good. I mean, I had to go way farther to get a Target commercial for modeling.
So it's whatever it takes to get you where you're going, kids. take notes, everybody. No, it was auditions in LA, and it was, they were looking for replacements for some of the existing cast members who were leaving.
Yeah.
And I auditioned at like Third Street Dance Complex where they used to shoot Dance Moms. You guys remember that show, Dance Moms?
Germans.
Oh, geez. Well, there's somebody watching this going, yeah, I do remember Dance Moms. But it was just like a dance studio, and it's the South Park team. So the executive producer of South Park was there and saw the whole thing.
Shit.
And like, and you essentially do the same. You do like the songs and the scenes, kind of same shit for more important people every round. So they send like a casting person and then they're like, cool, bring you back next week. And now it's the directors. Cool, bring you back next week. And now it's the directors and the producer.
Yeah.
And you just kind of keep doing that until...
And you just keep sleeping your way up every single time and
give
just
them
go
all big kisses.
Fucking bring it all out.
big kisses with or without tongue, depending on
for
preference.
Like many rounds.
Yes, lots of rounds. You have a dry mouth, by the way. Yeah.
That's the commitment.
But that's how you get to Broadway, baby.
That's how you get to Broadway, baby. That's how you know that's the commitment you need in this industry. That's you have the right attitude. I like that.
I'm a go-getter.
Okay, put your morals, throw them out the window and go give them what they want.
Exactly.
That's awesome. No, I'm proud of you. Awesome.
Thank you. It was fun. It's also like, as I'm sure you understand, it's hard work, but it's also a lot of luck. A lot of timing has to go right.
Yeah.
It's a lot of right place, right time. Like,
sure. Yeah.
Obviously, you got to have the drive and the abilities, and but the wet like mouth. And a really wet mouth. But if outside of that, a lot of it's honestly luck. And too, like coming out of college, I would have said yes to any show that would have had me. And I got lucky that it was one as good as that. Like,
That's about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I haven't watched so many Broadway shows. I've seen that three times somehow. Three times. I've never seen any show three times. You know what I mean? So like, that's really,
Well, and that's the case with that show for sure. That show attracts people that like don't really care about Broadway shows, but they're willing to see like, the South Park dudes wrote a musical. Let's see what this is about. Yeah. And it like, so yeah, it's just really lucky.
So how long
up on that.
Were you doing that for?
I did it for 3 years.
3 years.
I toured with it for a year. Broadway company for a year. Toured with it for a year.
So how many individual times have you done that show?
Hundreds.
That's
crazy. 8 shows a week with 1 day off. And when you're touring, that day off is your travel day.
Yeah.
So you're either traveling or doing the show.
Damn.
Yeah. By the time I got to the end, I was still like pretty thankful to have been a part of it, but was ready to be like, ooh, I gotta do something different. Cause the same exact show, because that's the name of the game too, is like you can't change it. Yeah. It took them 7 years to write it and make it perfect.
There's no creative freedom in that. Like you can change even a line, right? You can't even improvise. There's no room. There's like all very German, very Nazi energy.
It
like,
is very German.
Yeah.
It is very
Holy
German.
Holy shit, that's so because we talk about that freedom of stand-up is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Because every performance feels different.
Yeah.
Because you connect with the audience and you change and you pivot. Of course, you have an act, but then there's like a lot of nuance in it. And you can change it today. Like I can literally fuck around and just be like, oh, let me talk to this person.
Yeah.
So, wow. Has there anything, because that's like the biggest fear I would have on a big production like that. Has there ever been like a fuck up of some sort where like, because when you mess up a line, it kind of throws everything off.
Yeah, yeah.
So that pressure, I have a lot of respect for actors, especially in a live performance space for acting like theater.
Yeah.
To feel that pressure. Yeah. It's always, when I fuck up in stand up, I can clean it up.
Right.
In theater, it's like,
and there's not other people waiting for your cue to like do the.
And they're not mad at you because you're not ruining their show.
Right.
In stand up, it's my show.
Right.
So if I'm doing, if I'm messing something up, I'm like, okay, at least it's on me.
Yeah, but it's only me.
It would suck if I fuck everything else, everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has there anything happened?
Oh, of course. Of course. Of course. I can't. It wasn't me, but there was somebody, there's a scene where they, take off their like clothes and they have the Mormon underwear. You guys know about the Mormon underwear?
Yeah.
It's like these like, it's sort of like long johns, but it's like a one piece long johns that like some Mormons still wear, I guess. But anyway, it's like a joke in the show. They take off their day clothes and underneath is a Mormon underwear. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
One of the guys forgot to underdress his Mormon underwear in the show. So realizes, never mind. Buttons it back up and goes to sleep in his full clothes in the scene. Just laying there fully clothed. There's all kinds of there's a general in the show.
But he dealt with it pretty well then, right?
Nobody knows.
Because I thought you were going to say he ripped his clothes off. And his dick was out. We're back.
We're here. Back to dicks. It honestly, like when you're doing a show that long and that many times in a row, it's kind of fun when something goes a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
Like you don't want it to go so wrong that everybody gets fired or it becomes a whole ordeal. Sure. But when somebody says something incorrect or isn't exactly in the right place, everybody kind of perks up and
somebody
like,
says the N-word or something.
Oh boy, like, yeah. Exactly. Famously, everybody's like dropping racial slurs. Yeah. No, it's like it is kind of exciting though when people mess up because you're doing the same show over and over and over. But not so you don't want it to be so bad.
Yeah.
That someone's embarrassed or it's bad, but it's nice when everybody clenches when they notice something's going a little sideways.
That's wild. Do you make a lot of money with that? Is like a Broadway act, because that's about as high as you can go in terms of theater, right?
Yeah. That's a good question. Similar to TV, if you're a name, you make way more money than the regulars.
Yeah.
Like I think like, I don't know the numbers anymore, but I've heard things like you've got TV stars who come in and they're in a Broadway show and they're making like 50 a week, but that's like
50 what?
50K a week.
That's not bad.
That's
like almost as much as OnlyFans girl make from selling one Whole pick.
Yeah.
So,
but think about the amount of effort. 8 shows a week.
I know,
50K,
that's right.
One whole pick,
right? Yeah, 50K. Yeah. No, but they make 100K in a month. They make 200K in a month.
Do they really?
Yeah, I've interviewed people here. Oh, one girl makes like $250,000 a month.
How much?
She works hard though, you know? But
I was going to say, that's a lot of, yeah. How much content is she making? Is it like daily recording or is it live or how
it's
do you
more
make
like,
that much?
It's not even what she does on OnlyFans. It's more the catalog of videos on TikTok she makes to get people to go to OnlyFans. I think the con of OnlyFans is actually not that crazy. It's maybe she posts like probably daily somehow, which is compared to what you make, that's an insane amount of money per con. If you break it down to like a like work.
Yeah.
So the work goes not into OnlyFans. It goes into all this other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's like 50 a week.
That's good though.
Is like, yeah, but nobody you know on Broadway is making 50 a week. So all the normal people are
that's
in
crazy.
The like
so,
threes, fours a week.
Got it. So funny girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
she
yeah.
She would make.
She, like Lea Michele.
Lea Michele.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She would make,
I can't put a number on it
because
I don't know.
She's like.
But she would
she
be
is,
way up
you
there.
You go to see her.
Correct.
I don't go to Book of, no offense, I don't go to see Gabe.
Correct.
I go to see Book of Mormon, right?
Correct.
So, yeah.
Well, and they did that intentionally with Mormon where they were like trying to make it, you know, Book of Mormon
the concept,
rather than Lea Michele in,
God,
you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Which it just depends on the show structure. Like anytime Hugh Jackman's in a show, it's like you're going to see Hugh Jackman. It doesn't really matter what the show is. So he's making bank. But I don't know how much he makes, but
that's
I bet
interesting.
He makes a lot.
That's a hell of a line to have on your resume too, the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, man, yeah.
That's the top.
I mean, it's so fun. I mean, I haven't been in that show for years now, but it's still like,
I mean, that's what I said on the podcast just now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you can add to your resume was featured on the Uncensored with Mari Adrian podcast.
This is your moment.
That's right. You're peaking right
this
now.
Is the
just
top
so you know.
This is the top.
This is the top. Remember this moment, Gabe.
This is
a, there's,
very, yeah.
There's before. This podcast has done a lot for a lot of people.
That's
our friend
true.
Zach on last podcast.
Yeah.
It's an honor. It's really an honor.
A lot more people you can kiss after this.
He said that good, yeah, that's a good title. That's a good title for his, too.
Sleeping your way up in Hollywood? Not again.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. So, okay. And I got asked you, like, very blunt, okay? This is uncensored, right?
Okay.
So.
I'm nervous.
Whoa.
So.
I'm nervous. Is his heart racing? Is
he
that
gets a little aggressive. So
oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Jeff.
It's okay.
Thank you, Jeff. I needed that.
Thank you.
Be cool.
So, listen. There are stereotypes with theater kids that they're all gay.
Correct.
So, what's up?
Anything you want to tell us?
So, what's up?
I'm sorry, though.
So
it's just such a... I don't know. We
this
don't
is
have
such
question.
A good question.
This is a good question.
That's
this
such
a good
question. I'm not, but
okay.
But
you're thinking about it.
But like every day I'm checking, you know? No, yeah.
Same, bro.
It's definitely
dude,
like,
hit you.
That is the stereotype. That is like what people are, that is what people are assuming all of high school is that you're doing theater. So obviously you are. But yeah, I think it's like, I think it's definitely more, definitely mostly gay.
Yeah, right?
That community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same with modeling in a way where I was in the industry. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I saw, because I know you're married. We talked about our wives and stuff
married,
like that. Yeah.
Married.
Yeah.
Yeah. To a lady.
So what the fuck
don't know.
Is happening?
Yeah.
No, because, you know, I feel like we're in the same boat a little bit with that because I was in fashion and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Did you sometimes feel like an outsider because you were straight?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. I think it was like, I felt maybe different or unique, but I don't think I ever felt like outsider.
That's so funny. You feel different and unique as a straight white guy. Did you feel like you had to hide your straightness to fit in with people?
Hide who I am. Yeah, really. Yeah.
Did you have to tone down your awfulness?
Yeah. I hid my monster truck and
right?
I didn't want anyone to see it.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I felt like too.
You gave
different.
A few slaps on the ass.
Yeah. What's up, bro? Yeah. Good to see you.
No hetero.
I mean,
no hetero, bro.
Yeah,
no hetero.
Yeah, exactly.
Still gay, bro. I'm still gay.
Exactly, right. Yeah, no, it's definitely like you're not. It's not the norm, but like, as I'm sure you've experienced, what a fun social scene to be a part of as a straight, it's like so fun to like be a part of that. And like, I don't know, it's been a, it's like most of my scenes and settings that I'm in with people are mostly gay people.
Sure.
Almost entirely.
Same. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a
blast. I think it's almost like it feels like I was raised by gay parents in a way.
Sure.
Because when I left Germany, I started modeling and everybody was gay.
Yeah.
Like not necessarily models, but everybody in the industry, photographers, casting, my agents, everybody, either women or gay.
Yeah.
So it was interesting that even to this day, most people I like work with in any way, I just feel more comfortable with that energy.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have a gay personality. I fit culturally. It's so weird, but I fit in more with gays.
I totally agree. I totally hear you. Yeah. I'm the same. Yeah. I do. That's interesting. There is something about like, the guardian thing. Like when you go out into the world and then there's all these older gays who are like taking pity on the little church boy who ended up in this industry.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, why don't you come over here, bud? You'll be all right. We'll make sure you stay. You stay safe. Like we'll keep
we'll
you.
Make sure you stay safe.
We'll keep eyes on you. Yeah. No, totally. Yeah. Personality wise, I feel like, when I'm back home or when I'm around other people, I find that I'm adjusting when I'm around like my bros a little bit in a way that I'm like, I don't realize how, I guess, different I am in my day-to-day life.
Sure.
But then when I'm around, like my wife will make fun of me. I'll like answer the phone and it's my brother and I'll be like, what's up?
Yeah.
Just like my voice drops and I don't even realize it. But I'm like, you know, talking in this register in my daily life. And then my brother calls him like, what's up, dude?
Yeah.
How you doing, bro?
And then in the theater, like, hey, sister.
I'm like,
No, it's real. I say things like that and I don't know. You adapt naturally. And I think it's a natural thing that happens with us.
Yeah.
Like I said, like earlier, when I hang out with my wife and stuff, I say things like, cutie cute. And I say like these weird things that I would never say amongst like my alpha straight bros.
Of course.
I don't have any alpha straight bros. I think Jeff is pretty, you fit in more with straights. I think Jeff fits in with gays because gays want to fuck him.
I love gays. I love gays.
No, but culturally you're more straight. You know what I mean? Like sports, football, that kind of stuff. I feel like sometimes more, because I like gay sports. I like soccer, which in America is like the gayest thing you can like, you know?
That's where it falls off for me. Counter to the sweater vest, I love watching football. I love basketball. Yeah, dude.
Ooh,
I'm
American.
Like plugged
He's
into
from Detroit,
basketball.
Motherfucker.
When you said that, it was like, I love football.
I did.
Like,
I didn't even mean to.
You can't say it in a flamboyant way, you know? You go,
yeah,
bro, I love football.
Yeah. Like, fully.
Fucking the Terminator just came out, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
He's an alpha.
I love that you're like shameful about it. It's like, man, it's true. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just a little straight sometimes.
Yeah, my guilty pleasure. Yeah.
So we talk about football, your voice dropped and now Jeff's going to ask you if you've been diddled.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't necessarily implying that, but yeah, that's the logical extension of that. I was saying that Mario and I, as models, I'm not speaking for him, but we had to make some adjustments when we got in the industry because we are objectified. I guess you should know that going in, but got hit on a lot.
Sure.
You know, a lot of the agents, managers, clients are all gay. So it's just maybe a learning curve.
Sure.
And a power dynamic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But did you, in your industry, when you got in, was there anything you had to adjust to? Was there any weird moments you've had or anything that stands out?
Not anything.
Any names you want to name?
Yeah, here it comes. I think in general, like the theater world is a bunch of is mostly like weirdos and outcasts, and it's less like the theater world doesn't have the same. It has its version of objectification, but I don't think in the same way and as like aggressive as I hear from my model friends. Like that's definitely, and there's something too about when it's like when what you're selling is more body based than like
purely body based. Like literally all you do as a model is be ridiculously good looking. Like there's not really anything else. So
For like the other, it's a little more like you've got dancers and singers who are selling sort of like a thing that they do that's less associated. It's not as attached to the body as I feel like the modeling industry has it extra hard, I think. But I would say, yeah, I mean, like people are weird and like people say stuff they shouldn't be saying. I'm trying to think. I had like an agent when I was first in LA that like asked me to like try on what I was gonna wear in my headshots. Like he was like, well, we can pick the outfits together. So then I ended up like changing in his office, which was like, looking back, like, yeah, there's absolutely no reason I needed to be changing in his office. Yeah. We didn't need that. But I didn't have anything too crazy, because mostly theaters are just a bunch of like weirdo outcasts who aren't like, I don't know.
What's so funny when like the example he used is like the most wholesome, like compared to what we, you know, it's like, you know, I was a little uncomfortable and I don't want to, it's totally like valid. I'm just saying like in the scope of what we've experienced, it's like you're comparing like Michael Jordan like some pickup baseball player. You know what I mean?
Cause you guys have had a lot of that, I'm sure.
Oh, I mean, we've both, I think I can speak for both of us where we have had people like, I mean, I don't even know where to begin, but like grab our penises.
Oh, taking handfuls of dong.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's not that like handful, like, you know, handful, half a hand.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
But still pounds. Okay.
Yeah. A couple
the size of the hand does not invalidate the experience.
Right.
So I'm just saying like people would just blatantly, because you're in a more sexual setting. So it makes sense because for you, changing is even like something that's not very natural. I would change and I would be fully naked in front of photographers. And that was not even something I would bring up on a podcast. Yeah, wow. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so it's like interesting how the levels of that. And it makes sense because obviously modeling is such a, by the nature of the job, already very sexualized industry where it's focused on your body.
Right.
And there's more opportunity to go there.
Yeah.
Because you're already in, you know, you're already changing, you're already in underwear, you're already oiled up. Photographer goes, can I oil you up? You know, you missed one spot. Next thing you know, they're, you know, inside of you.
Right. You know? Right.
So, yeah.
His experience kind of brings up things, though. And it's not funny, but it's kind of funny thinking of your interaction, because he's like, hey, why don't you try this on? We're going to see you for your headshots, right? And you're like, well, do I need to? He's like, yeah, just go ahead.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Yeah,
but
for the headshots too.
Yeah, well, and you're totally right. The power dynamic is so off, because technically an agent works for you. Yeah. Technically.
You're their
boss.
But
when you're young,
100%.
It feels like 100%. This is the gateway to these opportunities. So I'm going to go with the flow kind of guy. Who cares? Whatever. Yeah. I'll do, if that's how it goes, then great. Yeah, that's me. I can fit that, you know. But yeah, I didn't have anything like too crazy. Yeah, all of mine sounds like puppies and rainbows.
Yeah, it's so
like,
wholesome. I love it. You're also so wholesome because, you know, we used to sleep your way up and stuff like that. And the last guy, he thought about a story how when you start acting, a guy was like, I'm going to give you this role, but all you got to do is go to dinner with this guy at a nice Italian restaurant. And then he's going to eat your ass. Like, you know, that was his extent. And then you go like,
after
I had
Italian?
To kiss a little bit. Yeah, exactly.
After some Italian food? Bro. God.
Exactly.
Take me to Sweetgreen. Sorry.
But that's the thing. Like, you don't know your worth when you're younger. So you're much more receptive to these, I would say, offers, if you can call them that. You know what I mean?
No, totally.
Because you're so right. You are essentially the boss of your agent. And you're more like partners in a way. But you're basically hiring them so they can, because you are your sovereign in your pursuit.
You're selling the product. You are the product. Yeah. And they are functioning as middlemen.
Brokers,
but it feels
like
they're above, especially when you're like just got to a new city or just got out of college or just whatever. It's like I mean, that's when all the bad stuff that we hear about happens, is that age of like
100%.
I'm new in town
innocence.
And I'm ready to
And people are like, I'm gonna make you a star in Hollywood,
and you're like, thank God.
Oh man, how many times I've heard shit like that.
Oh,
in modeling even. Oh my God, people who, and it's always people who can do nothing, and they
always,
they promise you the fucking world.
Yes.
It's a tale as old as time, you know. Yeah. And I see it with other people who makes me sad, and it's so sad when it happens to young people. That's really where I draw, because you know, if you, I don't even think there's something necessarily wrong with, if you want to, whatever, engage in anything sexually. I think it's unprofessional, but then I'm not to judge, you know?
Sure.
But if it happens and you know, as a person that holds some amount of power, and you willingly use that power knowing that the person is young, insecure, yeah. I think that's fucked up.
Oh, for sure.
And really disgusting. Like if somebody hits on me now and tries something, that's so different than doing right. it when I was 10 years younger, you right. know, because I feel like there's a level of maturity you can expect. So yeah, but it happens a lot. That's
for sure.
In all industries. Yeah.
You know, I had in 2008, I know this a little before y'all's time.
I wasn't born yet.
But I was out here. There wasn't social media, so I wasn't DMing anyone or anything like that. Mm. But I got connected with a manager. This manager has a really big acting client. The manager I talked to, he says, come out to Pacific Palisades and talk to me, and we'll talk about what we can do together. It's 2008. So I go into his place, and I realized within about 5 minutes that I made a mistake. That I was at somebody's place. Nobody knows I'm there.
What was the red flag? Like just realizing that you were there by yourself. And
no, he started telling me about, he goes, look at all my actors. They all get these fucking big jobs. And it's because I'm a go-getter. I'm an animal. I get you what you want. Mm. Then he goes, but what I want from you, I would like to get something as well. And I was like,
wow, straight up.
Okay. I was like, well, like a commission or something. He goes, well, I thought tonight we could start with a massage. I'll give you a massage. And so I'm young, kind of young at this point, and no one knows where I am.
34.
I mean, this dude's fucking young for me. And it was frightening at yeah. the time. And so I just yeah. had to like bullshit. I was like, listen to me, I'm going to come over here tomorrow and give you a massage. I promise. Tomorrow.
Stay right here.
Right back.
Don't move. Oil yourself up and I'll be back. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh my Damn, God. Bro. I wish I had your willpower, dude. I just took the massage, man, every yeah. time, and I would just clench my butthole every time they would come near.
A massage is a massage, baby.
Hey.
The days are
a
hard.
A Target commercial is a Target commercial, you know? Yeah, hey. Fully. Hey, I'm not even joking. Look at this Target shirt right there. It looks like a Target.
Incredible.
That's the fuck, and that's the worst part. When you try to sleep your way up, I'm like talking, it's super relatable. You know, guys, when you sleep your way up for a modeling job, yeah. And then you end up with a Target commercial. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure.
You're aiming for like Balenciaga and yeah. then you go Target. So it's like,
yeah. Yeah.
But hey, you take what you can get. You know, it's rough out there. It's rough out there.
Sure can. Yeah. Damn.
So, and now after all this, what's your main focus now? Is it because you do comedy? Because, okay, we should maybe also go watch the show May 12th.
Yeah, May 12th. I'll be doing the Netflix is a Joke Festival. I'll be at Dynasty Typewriter.
Awesome club, yeah.
It's Mother's Day, so bring your mom.
Bring your mom. Bring your mom,
yeah,
dude.
Go ahead. Bring your mom.
Bring
May
your mom.
12th.
His voice went down again. It's yeah, like, yeah, yeah. I'm going to watch football and bring
watch
your mom.
Football.
Yeah. Or your dad. You know,
or your dad.
Yeah,
hey,
your dad, yeah.
Mommy or daddy.
Yeah.
As long as they're there.
So what is the... so now comedy is the main... Because you said Tenacious D, so that's like kind of like your... Where are you going? Like
yeah.
comedy, but music, like with music.
For sure. Yeah. I like having a foot in both because I like functioning as like the comedy guy in a music space or yeah. the music guy in a comedy space,
oh.
like either way. So yeah, like a Tenacious D kind of thing or like a Flight of the Conchords or
yeah.
like Lonely Island. Those like,
yeah,
those dudes were all like what I was obsessed with. Unfortunately, the skill set I have is very Broadway. So it ends up coming across very like piano and big song, but mm-hmm. like, yeah, that's kind of the main aim is like
yeah.
trying to like mine that and see how far I can take that on the internet and live and
that's
wherever.
So cool.
Yeah.
Have you done any like so you've done like parody, have you done proper like music videos? Because I've seen your clips online, like the shorts.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't done any proper music videos, but
oh
that would be very fun to do.
Can I show you what
show
I
me.
Did?
Oh yeah, you were telling me about this.
So I gotta preface this. I have some talents. Music is definitely not one of them. Like I,
hey,
no, really, it's
short.
Not. No, 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 definitely not.
But you're dancing.
Not. Dancing
is
even
next level.
even worse probably. No, but I basically made a music video called Bro Job.
Oh,
bro,
fantastic.
Bro Job.
Yeah,
which talks about like you know men. I love bromance. You know, men being more vulnerable,
yeah,
expressing love
yeah.
to one another. This one. I didn't have, like, it turned out to be look a little bit more gay.
Okay.
Because what I want to celebrate is, like, men wearing Speedos.
Sure.
people did not understand that as much because they just saw a bunch of guys in speedos and they thought it was a gay music video.
Yeah.
But the message is, not there's anything wrong with them, just saying like, I want to celebrate straight bros that watch football to be more vulnerable. And that's maybe you can just react from a musical standpoint
but
to
the,
my...
But the American culture didn't totally get what was going on.
No, they just thought it was...
They just saw speedos.
They just thought it was like super... Gay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, well.
Hey, babe, stop. What's wrong? I swear to God, it was just a little bro job, you know? We're all buddies here.
No, Mario, you're clearly into boys.
Boys? Why would you think that? Heads, heels, bells, hair. Heads, heels, bells, hair. Come here, baby. Come on.
No!
This is my wife. Jay, she kicked me.
Hey, bro. I just saw what happened. You okay?
Yeah, man. Just hurts a little bit. I think I could just really use a hand right now.
Okay.
I know what you need.
You should take my hand.
Take my hand.
Come give me a bro job, cause you're my best friend.
We're best friends.
And that's what friends are for. They might think that we're gay.
No way.
Well, maybe just a little.
That was a fun ass day.
I love you, bro.
I've been so lonely looking for a bro.
Oh.
I don't
want
to yeah, go. Oh, yeah, with the face tap. Yeah, baby. Adult.
Yeah.
I'm down for you like Geronimo. I don't know if I'm gay, but don't put me in a box. Don't do it. I had a lot of girlfriends, but none of them had cucks. What a shame. Because there's something about you, I gotta find out now what it is.
So
what is it?
So long.
Yeah, there's something about you, I think I'm ready to take a risk. Let's go!
You should take my hand. Come give me a bro job.
Who's the singing homie? Who's
best
that?
That's my friend Josh, he's in a boy band actually.
Oh yeah.
Let me show you. Oh yeah, here, this is the big moment for me singing with Abba 2.
Here we go.
I love you, bro.
Bro love.
So I think
friends
the branding,
I love it.
Right. So that was my
good, bro.
That was my music video.
That's great.
That was cool.
You like it?
Yeah. You should do an acoustic version, an unplugged version.
An unplugged?
Yeah.
Oh,
just do a live take.
I'm so I'm not good at karaoke.
Is it stress you out or are you?
Yeah, because I'm not good. I could perform and make it maybe funny.
Sure.
But like I don't know. I just have this like because the thing is I struggle with the expectations sometimes. Because some people have told me, especially when my hair is longer, I sometimes look like I could be a musician.
Sure.
People tell me I look like Harry Styles sometimes. And then I feel like this pressure. People, I walk up karaoke and they're like, oh my God, look at this guy. Look at this guy.
Yeah.
And then I come
up
and I'm like, you should take your head. And you know, it's like just so bad. I can't do the high notes. It feels awkward to me. You know, I'm just not a trained singer.
Yeah.
And it's not where my talents lie.
Yeah.
I can do what, and so what I, can I tell you this?
What?
I had the most awkward thing at a karaoke party the other day.
Oh no.
Where I was asked to do karaoke and I said, I don't know any American songs. They were like, do a German song. Mind you, first we'll paint the picture. There was a bunch of children there.
Oh no.
Like moms. Like it was like kind of like a lot of kids with their moms and they were all like,
wait. Why were you doing karaoke with a bunch of kids and moms?
It was a birthday party of a friend.
Okay.
And it was like, they were under, it's like very wholesome.
Okay.
And they were all like, oh, look, Uncle Mario's going to sing you a German song. And the only song I knew was, Du hast by Rammstein. Do you know Rammstein?
No.
Okay, the song is pretty much like this. It's like, du hast mich gefragt und ich hab nichts gesagt. Dun. And then it's just like 45 seconds of like the hardest guitar riff. And I'm just standing there up there and they're all looking at me with big wide eyes, just looking at me being like, what the fuck is happening? And it was so awkward because I'm standing up there with the microphone, just like the hard German. I feel, because the German brings it out of me sometimes. I just get a little too aggressive.
Yeah, it gets a little hard.
And yeah.
It starts to feel a little Krampus. Yeah.
Krampus, yeah. And it was so aggressive. And then after 45 seconds of a guitar, the lyrics are so, it's very German, very efficient. It's literally, du hast mich. It's like basically the whole song is like a couple of words, you know,
yeah.
But very aggressive.
What does it mean? What does that mean?
It means you hate me. You hate me.
How did the kids
singing that to kids?
Yeah. How did the kids react?
You hate
they
me.
They were confused and scared and probably The parents had to do a lot of explaining after that.
You should have sang your bro job song for the
kids. I should, yeah. Come give me a bro job.
Train them young.
Like, it's just art.
Oh, man. I just fuck with techno music more. But this is too hot.
Oh, so yeah. Imagine me now out. With this. Imagine me on stage with all the kids.
Oh, shit. It's serious business.
Bester Tod und Scheiden, freue sein für alle Tage. Nein.
So that's it.
Wow. Okay. You did have the sauce there. You hit some pretty money notes up there just now.
Really?
Yeah. Why not? Yes. Hell yeah.
See that?
You got more musical talents than you know.
I once did voice club because I was on American Idol.
So I saw that clip.
I took some voice. I took some voice lessons before that in Hollywood with teacher from Russia.
Okay.
And she told me that I have that. I'm not making this up, by the way. She said that. And my wife's gonna hate me if I say this because she always makes fun of me how bad my singing is. But she said I'm an uncut diamond.
Ooh.
When it comes to singing, she said that to me. She said that to me, and I know she wanted to smash or whatever, but I think I'm still riding that wave of
potential,
baby.
There's a lot of potential,
but I'm afraid to tap into it. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah. You know, because what happens if you can do everything? Then it's too much power.
Yeah,
that's too much power.
Sometimes life is too easy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you want obstacles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it makes you more well-rounded.
Yeah, you need to feel boundaries. You need to have something to push against.
Exactly.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
That's why we used to do TikTok dance videos, was to really challenge ourselves.
Oh.
Until we watched them.
We need to dig those.
So you can dance, right? Obviously.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Because you were in.
Yeah.
You dance in that.
Yes. In the grand scheme of like humans, I'm a good dancer, but like dancers?
Yeah.
No, I'm not even close.
Yeah,
I no. But yes.
Sure.
Yeah, I see,
you're so humble.
Yeah.
So when you were growing up, when you were a kid, were you just like, you were just good at that stuff naturally? Or how did you get because like, I'm assuming Detroit is not, Detroit doesn't strike me as a place where you would naturally explore the arts.
What you mean?
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
It's like Motor City and...
Yeah.
Don't they have the baseball team there, the Lions or whatever?
Say what you really feel.
Yeah, you're really close. You're really close. Yeah, no, it's definitely not like a place where there's, it's not like New York, LA, Nashville, these kinds of places that are arts driven. I think it was church, like singing in church growing up. That was like an outlet where like I was doing a lot of singing and it was all kind of through music and through singing for me getting into it. And then honestly, I was playing football my freshman year of high school and broke my collarbone.
Oh.
So I couldn't play anymore. And then I was like, I guess I'll go do that.
I guess I'll be gay. I'll be with the gays.
Now's my time. Yeah.
So funny. Yeah. So it could have gone either way. Or maybe you would have been the top pitcher of the NFL or something.
No.
You know, if you broken your...
There's no way I would have been the top pitcher of the NFL. Not a chance. You would not have me there. No way.
Yeah. That's so funny though. Yeah.
Blessing.
Because I don't know. Okay, yeah, church. Because for me, it's like I grew up in Eibisbach im Hochschwarzwald, Germany.
Of course.
Where there aren't any outlets for creativity, really. I mean, I'm saying this like this is exaggerated, but like there wasn't a theater school. There wasn't like a theater program. Really.
Okay.
There wasn't any like, it was not normal or celebrated to do anything other than lumberjacking or engineering.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's what I did. I was a lumberjack engineer. Yeah. Legit. So,
is that what, like for school?
No, I mean, yeah, I studied all the subjects like math, chemistry, but I loved art. I loved science and like more German engineering stuff.
Got it.
But I loved, that's what I did, but I liked that too, but I loved creative stuff.
Mm.
But I didn't allow myself to do that because there was no outlet for it.
Right.
Which is sometimes like, you know, it's sometimes I was resenting the fact that I grew up in a place like Germany where maybe I was like, oh, if I'd grown up in New York, maybe I would have found my connection to the arts sooner.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it's like, you know, you'd love the grounding environment you grew up with.
Sure, so, sure. Well, and it gives you such a lens for what you're doing now, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you would have grown up in New York and tried to do the arts in New York like every other New Yorker, it may not have made you as interesting, you know? So there's
you
kind
think
of
I'm
a.
Interesting?
Yeah. Well, don't push it. Don't push it. Yeah. No, I think it like. I feel like Germans do the crafts though. Like they do the crafts better. Like less like artsy fartsy, but like Germans are makers in that way. Like that.
What do you mean by crafts?
Like building things and making things and like designing things. Like that kind of arts feels very German to me, where like Americans are a little more artsy fartsy.
Like, no, Germans are good with that kind of like efficient art or like making things work, but not necessarily conceptualizing things that are out of the box necessarily.
Sure.
Not okay. I think here's the difference. Germans are not emotional. I think the German creativity comes from a rational place versus from an emotional place.
Interesting. So the creativity is driven by, it has to have a like a tangible meaning or a point to it, or
problem
a use.
Solving. Germans are amazing at problem solving.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a problem, you want to get something, you want to make a process more efficient, more all that is great.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, you don't know a lot.
Just like the Jews.
What do you mean?
You guys had a problem, you
solved
it.
Thanks so much. I gotta go.
All right.
Thanks so much. It's been really great.
This great. He just threw it out there.
I didn't mean to take
just
it down.
Just like the Jews. What's up with that? Just like that.
But that's why y'all have great cars. Y'all are good at making cars.
Exactly, but we're not great. How many German
you put Detroit
comedians
out of business.
Know? I think
y'all
we did
Detroit
do that. The Japanese
business.
Did also, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Japanese, same thing. They're so German. Japanese are the Germans of Asia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not very emotional. Friendly though, but cold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the cars are way better.
And the cars are way better where? In Japan?
Both. Both Germany and Japan.
Oh, I thought you were saying that Japanese cars were better than
German
cars.
No, I would never say such a thing.
I was
not on this podcast.
You with a carrot
not
right
on this
now.
Podcast.
I was
going to attack
you with a carrot.
Podcast.
I don't want to brand myself as a fucking German like nationalist here. No, but German cars are superior. German cars are the superior cars! You know?
they are pretty good cars.
They're good, yeah. Germans don't show emotions. We don't connect with that side of ourselves.
Yeah.
I had to come here to become a little liberal queer.
Sure.
That's in touch with his emotions.
Sure.
It's true.
To be able to
That's one thing America taught me. I'll say this. America taught me to be more emotional. Yeah.
And that's kind of changing how you're making stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, in what way? Like, you're reacting, you're... How is it changing what you're making?
When I create now...
I know this is supposed to be a fun, like,
no,
goofy
no, no, I love
podcast,
it. I love it. Whatever.
I'm genuinely curious.
Like, when you create from a place of... I create from a place of what's the feeling I have. When I write stand-up, I don't think about, like, what's the punchline that makes people laugh? What's the... Like, I think about that, too, in a bit more of an analytical way. But I'm like, okay, what do I have an emotional reaction about? Whether it's anger or joy, what am I passionate about? And then I write from that place. And that's what's guiding my creative choices.
Which is
very vital for creativity. I think there's nothing wrong with the other side of creativity. It's more analytical, being like, okay, what is doing well? And what's this? And then like being more structured about it. I think I'm kind of blending both with having the German background of being very organized.
Yeah.
But then also a bit more of that like emotional. And I think a lot of artists, I don't know, what about you? Do you feel more emotionally guided in your craft or more rational?
I'm trying to learn after we met last week. Yeah. I was talking to my wife about how it's an interesting new friend to have because I'm trying to be more organized and be more analytical and be more efficient. And so I felt like, I was like, I think I met my efficiency guru like this week. Like, yeah,
that's
I think
so funny.
'Cause I can get caught up in like, I can get caught up in the not posting or the not making or the not writing 'cause it doesn't feel whatever. Yeah. But like when you start to be more structured and you start to like have more analytical purpose for what you're making, it makes it easier. 'Cause I agree. I think a lot of, at least my American artist friends are more on the emotional side of like, well, it doesn't feel right, so I'm not going to finish that project.
I mean, you live
or
in Silver Lake, so that's the antithesis of like anything commercial or Hollywood. It feels like very much like art-driven.
Yeah.
For the sake of art.
Yeah. I think a lot of people in Silver Lake like to think that they're doing that, yet they all work for the big companies that we all,
you know what I mean?
But yes, that's like the feeling is like trying to make real art, which like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
for sure. Yeah.
That I don't think that has any merit, but that can be kind of like the pools that I'm treading water in is all these emotional American artists. And then to like try to add some efficiency and some here's the goal, here's the mission, here's the purpose,
yeah,
actually is helpful to a person like me. It sounds like in the same way that you're like, I needed to like get a little American and loosen up. And
for
like,
sure.
Yeah.
I think the balance between, but I think now more than ever, it's important to have both.
For sure.
Because now you are, you, and it's been democratized so much with like what we're talking about. We're both doing a tour, by the way, follow us on Geo's on tour. Okay. But it's been, and I think that was an interesting observation we made on the other day is like, we're not artists anymore. We're almost running our own media company.
Yeah.
To where you have to have the efficiency and the business side. You can't just be like, in what we're doing, right? If you're like an actor that's directed by somebody, you can just kind of exist in this like acting space.
Yeah.
But now with social media, I think it's so beautiful because you have autonomy.
Yeah.
But you need to add this business side of things to your skill set. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult.
It goes nowhere. So, it goes nowhere. If you're just waiting, if you're stuck waiting for inspiration or emotion to drive the thing, it's not going to work. But agree. Yeah. It is like, that's sort of the modern age of entertainment is like, you are running your own thing. All your pages are your own TV networks and you're picking what goes on there and what doesn't and learning based on how the pilot went or whatever.
Like,
it's a different ball game, which is less gate kept, but is certainly, you have to have a lot more fire under your ass than you would in other versions of it. I feel like
that's why this whole thing about like, when people, like we talk about sleeping a way up, I think that is going to be more obsolete.
I hope so.
Just because of the power dynamics that are being basically, that are vanishing. Even in modeling, if you think about modeling now, I have some friends who are like, one of my friends, Moritz, who I was modeling with.
Okay.
It's the most German fucking name. But he's crushing it. He's doing like, he leaned into a lot of like, he's very good at social media and always was. Very business driven German guy. Very good looking guy also. And he made all these videos on TikTok like leaning to the fashion stuff. He's got like millions of followers right now.
Whoa.
And he was like, we're in the same boat modeling together, trying to get jobs like in Korea, we're modeling together. And now he has this following. He gets invited to Prada events. He did like a campaign, a thing for like, I don't know which brands, but like Dior, Prada, like this high fashion brands, Armani, where he did that because he is that person. And nobody can be like, yo, if you let me, you know, if I can give you a massage, then, you know, I'm going to put you in this. No, he's fucking the man because he has this power right now.
Right.
And it's amazing.
Right.
But then other people who don't have the skills that he has with marketing himself are going
to
die.
Yeah. No, seriously though. Well, and to your point about sleeping,
die.
you can't sleep to the top of something that you have to build yourself anyway. Like when you're making,
say that again, you can't sleep your way to the top of what you build. Oh,
of something that you have to build and you have to make.
Yeah.
Like where it used to be,
but
these people are the gateway to an opportunity.
Yeah.
Now the opportunity is how hard am I willing to work and make it and put it out and take notes and be willing to be flexible. Like that is the game.
And then you can make other people sleep their way up to you. And then
that's
the circle of life is completed.
Yeah, baby.
That's fucking right.
That's what we want.
That's what we're doing here.
That's what we're doing.
That's why you're on this podcast.
Yeah.
We're just buttering
you think
you
I
up.
Took him here for nothing?
As soon as we stop recording. Ooh, baby.
Yeah, we put... you remember... Oh, do you want to do the prank?
Yeah.
You know what the prank is? This whole idea of the prank? Is no.
Jeff's grabbing his waistband.
It's just like, let's just do a, like a live sexual assault on tape right now, you know? No, our friend, I did a podcast of my friend Danny Mullen. He's also a comedian.
Okay.
And they were doing a thing where with Leo, and they were doing a thing where, what did they do exactly? One would go to the bathroom and would come back fully naked while the guest is here. So like, imagine Bachmann right now, just walking out, coming back fully naked with his schlong out. And that's the prank.
And you have to try to keep staying in the, as a guest, you don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And you're trying to stay focused on the podcast.
I think that's
but
what
in
it
your
is,
peripheral
yeah.
vision,
yeah.
You've got dong.
You've got dong. That's right. That's
I mean,
right.
You get the wrong guest and I don't know what happened.
Is that sexual assault?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Going into a space and seeing... Well, okay.
He's getting up. We're all getting nervous. He's getting up.
He started moving it. He started moving it. Made me nervous. No. Yeah. Right? You go into a space. You're not expecting that.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Well, sexual assault is such a funny thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No. It's such a weird thing. It's such a weird thing. Because I know it's a genuine question. I was in New York with my friend. And I was in New York. and I looked outside the window and I made a reel about it because it's truly what happened. I saw two, like New York, you know, big windows, yeah. big, you can see like, you know.
Yeah.
One, I was before a show, I was going through my stuff, like working on some new material. And then in my peripheral, I just saw a window and there was two dudes in the window just plowing. Wow. Like aggressive though. I've never seen that before. You know, I've never seen like guys like going at it like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in real life too.
Yeah.
It was, and it was all the positions they did. It was inspiring, dude. They had like, I didn't
wow,
know.
We
I
watched know, long enough to
I didn't
see
know,
the
listen,
difference.
I was like, yeah, I was like, took my popcorn out. I was
yeah,
like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I didn't want to look at it. Listen, okay? I'm straight.
But it's but educational. It's educational.
No, but like, okay, here's the thing. It's not even that. It's like, when something like that is happening, you cannot not look at it.
Of course.
Like if a grandma's like, it's like weird.
Of course.
You just like, we're wired. I'm not, also, am I the bad guy now that they're banging in the front window?
No,
that's
no,
where
no.
my question was, is it sexual assault if you just like show your, because they were in the bed, you know, these apartments where the bed is literally, imagine this is a uh-huh. bed and the windows are here,
uh-huh.
fully open, lights are on, it's nighttime. People yep. can see in. And they're choosing to have sex here on this play where you're in New York City.
Right.
There's some sense it's anonymous in a way because it's New York.
Right.
I don't know these dudes.
Right, right.
But still, it's like, it was kind of shocking to me and you could be a kid seeing that.
Right.
And then I really asked myself, wait, does the fact that it's their property prevent it from being classified as sexual assault?
Oh, interesting.
Well, he said that too.
I don't
he
know.
Said
let
he,
me...
Somebody in a space where we're not. Used to, we're not from. Yeah, which I think is you know.
Yeah, yeah, but if it's not in your, let me consult my handbook that I brought yeah. with me on this topic. No, I don't know. But it is interesting when it is technically there on their property, even though it is. Yeah, I don't know
because
I'm not
like,
an expert.
If
on
I just
topic.
Open the, if I open the shades right now, you know what I mean? Just open yeah. this thing out.
Yeah,
and just stood up there.
Yeah,
looked on La Brea Avenue, and just start rubbing one out.
Mm-hmm.
Is that my right as an American? I'm German, but in America.
Yeah, 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 yeah. As an American, yes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Germans cannot do it.
I don't know.
Americans, yes. Okay,
I don't
cool.
know. Yeah, yeah.
We got
yeah.
it. We got it.
Yeah.
That sounds a little like racist, but you know, I'll take it. I think it. Yeah. Different rights for the Germans. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I would think that that's perfectly okay to be fucking right here.
Why are you looking at me like that?
What's the problem?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what could that fall under that would be.
I don't know.
If it's okay, if it's I think it's such a weird like gray zone though, because of course if you have sex in your apartment and like people look, it's almost like they're invading your privacy.
Correct.
But if you have sex almost like with people like from an exhibitionist standpoint of like
yeah.
you want people to see you.
Yeah. Because in a park, that's illegal.
And that's weird.
Yeah. On the sidewalk, that's illegal. In
yeah,
the lobby, that's illegal.
At a public
but
library, because we know. Remember Palm Springs?
Yeah.
Illegal. Public library, can't
oh, wow.
do it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. yeah Palm yeah. Springs Library.
Yeah.
It's
I thought Palm Springs would be cool with it.
Not yeah, anything yeah, goes no. in Palm Springs.
yeah. Turns out you can't. That computer lab's not for that. yeah. boys. That's not what that's for.
Yo, yeah. with Leo, personally, I would think that that's fucking hilarious if he did it, but I would never do that because I think that is a huge risk that I don't
sure,
want to take.
Sure.
Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, yeah. Know? I mean, if it's like an episode of Jackass and it's all your buddies and you know each other, that's a different conversation
yeah.
than
yeah.
like hanging dong with a stranger.
Well, also, like if I had a woman on the podcast. I would not even think about it. It's so funny
yeah,
that like
yeah.
we think about like all the sexual assault stuff with guys. It's almost
yeah.
like there's this like the threshold has just moved up astronomically
yeah.
to what's considered, you know, acceptable.
Yeah. yeah. I'm checking the handbook again and I think you're right.
Like
my sexual assault handbook with me.
Half this, you wrote it while you were in church.
Yeah, yeah, I wrote
okay,
it in
got
church.
It, got it.
Yeah, uh-huh. yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
Oh my God. Jeff, you should have asked if anybody, like, if any sexual assault happened, not in his career as
oh,
an
yeah,
actor,
that's
but
the,
in church. You
that's
know, that
the real
been,
question.
That would have
yeah,
been the
yeah,
real
yeah,
question
yeah,
to
yeah.
ask. Yeah, yeah.
No, you, no, I didn't.
No?
I didn't grow up around any priests. So no.
Oh, really?
No.
No
it was,
priests?
No, it was like preachers and pastors, but not like, I feel like famously the ones that get in trouble are the priests in America.
So wait, the pastors because they can have a family.
Yeah. I don't know if that's why.
Because priest, Catholic, is a Catholic?
Yeah, they're supposed to be celibate. Yeah.
Were you, do you grow up Catholic?
I grew up technically non-denominational, which is like, it doesn't, it's not associated. It's sort of like American Christianity in its modern phase. It would be like a Hillsong. Have you heard of Hillsong? They were like a worldwide thing.
Hillsong.
Sounds it's like
some redneck.
Yeah, stuff, you know? Yeah, yeah. Started in Australia, actually. But yeah, no, I grew up in that sort of like the hip kind of church where you come in and like Kumbaya, there's lights and there's like projectors and dudes on electric guitar. That
oh really?
Vibe.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah,
yeah. Less of like the hallelujah.
I grew up with that.
You did that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
But I wanted to be part of it so bad.
You did?
Yeah, because I was not baptized as a kid. So when I was 13 or something like that, I was like, hey, priest, can you literally walked up to priest. I was like, hey, bro, can you baptize me?
Ooh, tough.
And he did, bro.
Tough, bro.
Four
That's
times.
Tough.
Baptized me many times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
In private.
You walking up to a priest and asking that is like.
I should write about this, right? It's funny.
That's a dangerous situation.
There's some fun about that. Yeah,
There's something there.
But I think I wasn't hot enough yet.
Oh, yeah. Glow up, unfortunate.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Although I don't know how high the bar is for those kind of boys, but
yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about hotness on a scale of like
for priests.
Let's not talk about hot kids, guys. Oh, that's not where we want to go with this.
No. That's where we draw the line.
Even Jeff is like, that's where we draw the line. You know, we could have sex right now facing outward, but that's where we draw the line right now with this. Oh, man. Thanks so much for coming on. This is super
Dudes,
fun. I really appreciate you. Go follow him, Gabe Gibbs. Go to his Netflix show on May 12th at the Dynasty Typewriter for Netflix. A joke. And also go to my tour, MarioAiden.com. I'm on tour everywhere right now. 17 cities. Very excited. Peace out. We love you. Stay uncensored. See you next time.
Your baby care.